Kuiper Belt Productions presents Kingdom by Phil McMurtry, Episode 5. The rare hydrocarbons necessary to complete Dr. Scott's time machine have been obtained, and now the entire crew of Discovery 3020 are preparing for their return to Earth. And on the bridge of the spaceship, there is excitement tempered with professional pride.
Jason, tell me the status of the reciprocating IMT, please.
It's currently switched off, Captain. Permission for me to initiate it?
Granted.
Reciprocating IMT now initiated. Slowly charging up currently at 1% every 10 seconds. Increasing to 3% every 10 seconds.
Team, we are firing up the teleportation reciprocating IMT. Over the next few minutes, all of you will experience a sensation of needles in your limbs. This, we have been told by our scientists, is perfectly normal and should disappear within 5 minutes of being teleported back to Earth. If I'm honest, though, no one knows what we'll go through. So sit back and enjoy the ride.
60%, Captain. The hull is getting stressed to a greater extent with time. We're at 95% of the yield stress and still climbing. Soon we'll be going into the plastic zone of the phase.
Chances of survival, Jason?
Taking probability into account, I'd say 95%. Actually, can I scrap that? We only have a 75% chance.
75%?
Okay, we're at 93% of UTS and 98% of IMT charge. Captain, I need a decision. We're at 58% survivability. Action, please, now!
Hold it charged. 3, 2...
53% survivability.
Captain!
1.
Good Lord, I've never been so scared in my entire life.
Yeah, me too. And to think that the crew was completely oblivious to all of this makes me feel guilty, scared and responsible for a lot of people.
Discovery 3020 is now safely in Earth's orbit once more, and the shuttles are deployed, returning the crew back to Earth and their families. On the ground, the sun is shining, and it's a Friday, and the homecomings will be celebrated over the weekend and into the coming week. Dr. Scott begins the process of extracting the hydrocarbon from the ore, and after 12 weeks, he has more than enough to begin testing his time machine.
Wow. Have you ever seen such a beautiful colour in your entire life? Doesn't it make you feel good?
Definitely so. It's miraculous. What should we name it?
I hope you don't mind, but I wish to call it KB Alpha, which is short for Kuiper Belt Alpha.
It's very scientific. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like red or yellow. Don't you think?
You come up with the layman's name then, Rob.
I would need to think about that.
You let me know when you do. We only require 37% of the entire hydrocarbon capacity to initiate the time machine. We have plenty of it, and even if we stuff up the first batch, we've got over 2 changes to redeem ourselves.
So the container which holds this hydrocarbon pours into the time machine through these pipes, if I understand it correctly.
Yes, that's correct. We're pouring it now. You know, this quantum computer times a trillion has got an incredible amount of processing power. It can calculate the entire universe's matter in less than a second. That's how powerful it is. The gamma rays that are connected to it can modulate the entire energies around the pod to bend time, space, and matter. It's truly the origins of life, the universe, and everything, if my calculations are correct. But they haven't failed me yet, and I don't intend to do so now. I'm excited by the prospect, and...
You okay, Dan? You just stopped. And what?
Well, I haven't told you this before, but my father died when I was a kid, and I'd love to see him again. Is that crazy?
It's as crazy as Kim's plan. I'm not one to judge. What about the paradox theory, though? If your father died, would you disappear?
The answer is simple. Yes and no. We'd live in 2 worlds with 2 histories and 2 futures. However, based on my calculations, These worlds are in completely separate dimensions, apart from if they would intersect a wormhole. Then it could get really messy.
So I guess the first question is, what or who do we teleport into the past? Assuming that the machine works, of course. No disrespect, Dan. I want it to work, and I trust you with your calculations. But it's never been done before, which is why we're at the guinea pig stage.
How would you feel about Amy going?
No, Dan. Not a who. Not a person first time, anyway. Much safer to send a what.
What? Oh, I see what you mean. Amy is a what.
What?
Amy is.
Amy is what?
Yes, that's right. She is.
Who is?
Amy. She's not a who. She's a what.
Huh?
Amy is a what. She's an android. You haven't met her yet, but she's brand new and top of the range. She'd record everything at a 1000K resolution and beam it to our live 3D holographic room where we could monitor everything. If anything goes wrong, for example, she meets something aggressive or violent, we can zoom into their quark matter level and slightly manipulate them to forget for a few minutes and make some room for Amy to escape.
That's a great plan, Dan. Where is she?
I'll have her here in the lab tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock it is then.
And so, at 10 a.m. on the 26th of February 3021, Robert Pine meets Amy the humanoid for the very first time.
Amy, welcome to the lab. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Mr. Pine. Am I in some sort of trouble? You never invite me to the laboratory. Have I done something wrong?
On the contrary, Amy. I have a proposition for you.
Oh, a proposition? Really? Should I be excited?
Well, I don't want to lead the witness, but I guess that's up to you.
Good. What is this proposition, then?
Do you see that machine over there in the corner? That's a time machine. Dan and I would like you to travel in time to do a job for us. Record what you see, stay there for a little while, and then come back and report to us. What do you think about that?
Will I be damaged in the process?
Amy, the real answer is, we don't know. But should you be damaged in any way, we shall reinstate your backup memories and install new software. You'll be better than before. What do you say?
Well then, I guess the answer is yes. I can't really lose then, can I? I would be very honoured. But of course, these are only words. I can't actually feel, Rob. I'm a machine. When do I go?
Well, we were thinking, how about now?
Oh, right. Well, no time like the past, eh?
Ready?
Manufactured ready, Rob.
Dan, are you ready?
Born ready. Amy, would you make your way to the pod?
Amy, where would you like to travel to? And how far back in time would you like to go?
That's very clear for me, Rob. Same room as yesterday at 16:30.
Weren't we here yesterday at that time?
Precisely. That's why I want to do it. It will be fresh in both of your minds too. So this is a perfect validation.
Okay. Dan, are we good to go?
Amy, I'll fire up the machine and you should be teleported within nanoseconds.
Security systems activated.
Amy, the machine is about to teleport you in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
She's gone.
As predicted. The IMT is working perfectly. Let's go now to the 3D holographic room.
Let's do it. Something is wrong. It's all black, Dan. What's going on? Oh no, we haven't lost her, have we?
Most illogical. As per my calculations, she has a 99% chance of getting there successfully. Perhaps we just had bad luck.
Dan, that's... Oh my God! We're looking at the scene from yesterday. Hang on, is this some kind of trick? Have you just taken a recording from yesterday or something?
No, Rob. It's no joke. No recording. I never joke around. This is dead serious. Amy is looking at us from yesterday. This is a miracle. I just can't believe my eyes. I'm so happy.
Hang on. If Amy's there really viewing this, then why can't we, from yesterday, see her as well as Amy, who's viewing all of this from the third person?
Yes, that is a little strange. Probably a glitch. However, if yesterday we had seen Amy, plus another Amy, wouldn't we have freaked out?
I guess there could be some advantages going totally covert. From a danger perspective, that would be a good thing, or snooping around, but what if you want to engage with the people around you?
Then it's not so great, I guess.
Rob? Dan? Can either of you hear or see me? Something strange is happening. I don't believe either of you can see me from yesterday. Today. Oh dear. I'm confused. You know what I mean.
Amy, hi. We can see you, but for some reason there appears to be some visual distortion going on. But isn't it amazing to even experience this? They can't see you, Amy, but you can obviously see them.
Any way of changing that?
Hi, Amy. Rob and I are just discussing that. Do you want to stay much longer? You've been there for an hour and 15 minutes already. Don't you think you've seen enough?
Definitely, Dan. Can you please send me back to the future from my perspective and the present time from your perspective?
Will do, Amy, but you're going to have to stay as still as you possibly can. The time machine can trace where you are up to 300 millimeters of tolerance either side. Are you standing still?
Yes.
In that case, I'm going to try to lock you on in 3, 2, 1. Locked on.
Well, that was an experience like I've never had before. I've done a playback comparison in my memory between the near past and the further past.
And?
There is zero variance or deviation between the two time periods. They are perfectly in phase with each other. They are simply identical.
What was it like? I mean, what did you feel like experiencing the past like that?
It feels very lonely because you're alone. Even though you are around people, I tried touching all of us to see whether we would react. But although I could feel myself touching us, we couldn't feel it, and that was extremely weird. Did any of you the first time experience some weird phenomenon?
Me? Nope. Nothing. How about you, Rob?
Nothing here either, Dan, as previously intimated. I think this visual distortion is going to be a huge problem for Kim and me when we plan to go back in time ourselves. Do you think this can be altered by any chance?
It's definitely a challenge. I'll consider the software machine code and try to invert the phase from a no-show to a show.
What about being able to switch between the two modes?
Why? What's your reasoning?
What if Kimberly or me are in real danger? Wouldn't it be beneficial to be able to turn invisible as a safety mechanism?
Good idea. Yes. Why don't we have both the options open? I'll start programming that ASAP. This should be a relatively quick fix.
Apologies for the interjection, you two, but would it be possible to go back in time to when I was manufactured? To the exact day over 1,000 years ago now, I believe? I'm very mature, aren't I?
That's one way of putting it, Amy. That must be tomorrow now, as I'll have to do some reprogramming of the machine code.
Late that evening, Dr. Scott is rewriting code in the laboratory. The computer is busily running and checking the new code in the background.
Dr. Scott, don't you have a home to go to?
Computer. Well, actually, as it stands, I do have a beautiful home to go to, along with a beautiful wife and 3 beautiful kids.
More reason to go then, Dr. Scott, surely.
All right, I get the message. I guess I've rewritten the code to inverse the polarity for showing the time traveller to that new world. We can try this out tomorrow.
Exactly. So, get going, Dr. Scott, and get some rest.
I will do. Computer, please contact my wife on Z4W. Hey, darling. Sorry it was a late one, but I'm on this massive learning curve. I'll tell you when I'm back home, darling, okay? What was that? Hello? Is anybody there? Hello? Computer, did you pick that up?
My sensors detected nothing, Dr. Scott. Are you certain you heard something?
I could have sworn I heard... Okay, maybe I am hearing things. You're right. It's late and I'm off. I'll see you tomorrow, computer. Bright and breezy.
Good night, Dr. Scott. I'll power down and collect my memory banks.
You idiot! You nearly gave us away.
I can't help it. I got cramp. Ah, God. We've been hiding in here all day.
I don't believe it. They've actually cracked this time machine thing. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's completely surreal. But, Sarah, I'm worried. You're really serious about going back in time to change the outcome of your reprimand. You're taking a huge risk. They haven't tested this time machine with humans yet.
Never more serious, Max. Why should I suffer because an engineer got it wrong? If it hadn't been for those engine failures, the present would be completely different. Please, Max, I've got to do this.
Okay, I suppose I agree. So what's the plan?
I'm going to go back in time to when that idiot engineer approved the engines in my shuttle. I'll change approved to rejected. Then they'll have to re-examine the engines. The fault will be found and rectified, so no explosion and no reprimand.
God, this is so risky, Sarah. I mean, what if something happens to you?
Look, all I'm going to do is enter the inspection room, put a rejection stamp on the engine and walk away. At that point, you teleport me back to the present. Simple.
Well, in theory, yeah, but so much could go wrong.
Look, Max, you just put me in the pod, type in the date and the hour to send me back to, and execute the command. Job done. We both saw how simple the whole process is.
Oh, God, it does appear that way, yeah. But what if there's a password or something?
Then we just don't go. Are you ready to do this or not? Can I now get into the pod?
Okay, let's do this. Get comfortable.
Yeah, ready.
Right, so, date and hour. Okay, Sarah, we know what we're doing here. Ready to teleport in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Well, I'll be damned, Sarah. You're safe. Thank God for that. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Max. I'm fine. I did it. I changed the approval.
You did?
Did it work? Max, did it work? Quick, look at the papers.
My God. The engine certificate has been changed. And look, your shuttle was not destroyed. And, well, I'll be... Sarah, it's all exactly what might have happened if your engines hadn't failed. This could have been your result.
Max, it is my result. No reprimand and a full bonus. Now are you happy we've done this?
Yes, I am, although it does feel like we've cheated.
Not to me it doesn't, Max. I've just corrected someone else's mistake. Mine was dependent upon his. Well, perfectly reasonable in my eyes.
Okay, hun. Let's get out of here and go back home. I'm in need of a cuddle.
Me too, hun. Me too. I'll never, ever repeat something like this ever again.
The next morning, Robert Pine and Dr. Daniel Scott are in the laboratory discussing the time machine.
So, we've sent Amy, who is essentially a machine, to travel back in time. But what about living things now?
That's strange. I'm sure I closed the time machine pod last night before I left.
How long are you here until?
About until 9 p.m.
You're working too hard, Dan.
Nah, you could never work too hard.
What are the diagnostics showing up with Amy? Is everything okay with her?
100% verification has been completed with a checksum too. She's identical to what she was before she time traveled. Perhaps we should send an animal next. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, we've got to take it really slow. How about Jerry? He's a great chimp. We've already installed the visual detectors on him so that we can view everything in the 3D holographic room.
Let's do it. Sam, you can bring Jerry in now. Great, Sam. Don't worry. He's in good hands. Come on, fella. You want one of those bananas? You want to go back in time, hey? How about 1642 in the Amazon forest? Would you like that, hey? Come on. Hold my hand. Eat your banana in there. There's a good fella. You happy? Rob, teleportation in 3, 2, 1, 0.
Over the next weeks, Jerry travels back in time on many occasions. On his return, he is scanned, prodded, and probed. And very soon it is clear that nothing has genetically or psychologically altered. Dr. Scott's soon-to-be-famous time machine is safe. Therefore, on the 12th of June, 3021, Robert Pine and Kimberly Pine are waiting in the laboratory.
Dad, is everything set for the time machine?
I think so, Rob. I've checked the calibration, and it's accurate within 10 trillionths of a second. And there shouldn't be a problem for the time you're travelling to. All the living organism trials over the past few months, from an amoeba to a lion being teleported back in time, have all been 100% successful. From yesterday, a year ago, 10, 100, 10,000.
Yes, I get it, Dan. There haven't been any issues, right?
That's correct. However, being a scientist and always thinking of every eventuality, if anything does go wrong, have you and Kimberly written your wills and filed them with your solicitor?
That's sorted. Are you ready to teleport us?
Whenever you're ready, will both of you please enter the time machine pod? Will you let us know when you start her up? I'm pressing the initiation button. Now, please concur the time period you want to go back to is August 1st, 30 years BC. That is 3,051 years ago, approximately 10 kilometers away from Cairo. That way, when you appear, no one will see you. Plus, the scanner is coming up with no one within a 5-kilometer proximity. That's good.
Kimberly, are you happy with that date? Have you got water and food in your backpack?
Let me see. That would be 11 days before Cleopatra and Antony committed suicide. I think that should be fine. We can manipulate both that way. Do it, Dan.
Okay, counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
And so, on the 1st of August 30 BC... Robert and Kimberly Pine find themselves in the heat of the desert about 10 kilometres from Cairo. Unbeknownst to them both, their physical appearance has changed completely. Dr. Scott has programmed the time machine to harness the digital DNA of Mark Antony and Cleopatra and merge it with Robert and Kimberly's DNA. Feeling that this would have been too much of a shock, he has omitted to warn them of the consequences that, when they arrive in ancient Egypt, everyone will see them as Mark Antony and Cleopatra.
Oh my God, Rob! It's the pyramids in the distance! Look how smooth they appear on the surface, unlike how they appear today. We're approximately 10 kilometres away, like Dan intimated. Look, it's Cairo. And can you see that there? It's an oasis.
Wow. Even by my standards, Dan has truly achieved a miracle. I know I've been watching it from the other side for months through the 3D holographic screen, but to experience it firsthand, my mind is literally blown away.
Well, if we don't begin making tracks towards that oasis over there in the distance for a little shade for 10, 15 minutes, what looks about 3 kilometres away, our lives will be blown away in this unforgiving place. Let's start to make a move, Rob.
OK. How much time before we get to Cairo?
Well, if we just walk it, perhaps 2, 2.5 hours. Depends on our speed, I guess. Not too long. We'll definitely make it.
Come on, then.
The couple head towards the oasis, and after sheltering under the trees for 15 minutes, they walk on towards Cairo. They are truly feeling the heat.
Rob, look at that architecture. I think in our modern world, we have greatly underestimated their achievements. Look at the intricate sculptures all around those buildings.
It's literally outstanding. It makes you think. Have we, in the future, digressed rather than progressed? Everything is so clinical in our world.
Yes, I'm literally amazed. Look at that bridge. It looks like it leads to the front entrance of the city. Let's head over there.
Why bother guessing? Let's lock in the coordinates. Let the computer do the final.
No, Rob. I want us to be as authentic as possible. No computers now. Let's follow our noses. I'm in paradise.
Me too, Kimberly. Me too.
Rob, they're freaking out looking at our outfits. Perhaps we should dress their way.
Why are they bowing in front of us? Something isn't right.
Do you want these slaves to be beheaded, my queen, for not allowing themselves to be walked upon beneath your feet?
Slaves? Rob, what is going on? I'm really confused.
I'm not really sure. Do they think you are the queen or something? Perhaps we should inform Dan of this strange phenomenon.
My king, just give the order and they shall all be crushed under my horse's feet.
What? No, why would I do that? Hang on. Soldier, who do you think I am?
Is this some sort of trick question? You're Mark Antony, ruler of Egypt. Why do you ask, O King of Kings?
Because I'm not who you think I... No, forget that. Yes, that's very true, soldier. And what is your name, boy?
Samson. My name is Samson, centurion of the first cohort. Are you not pleased with my questioning, my king?
Everything is fine, Samson. And who is this by my side? This beautiful woman, who is she?
These questions are getting stranger, my king. That is, of course, your beautiful queen, Cleopatra. Am I missing something?
Samson, I've heard enough. Spare the lives of those slaves today and take us to our palace.
Your wish is my command, my king. Follow me.
Look, Rob, our palace.
Kimberly, start calling me Mark Antony. I think it for some strange reason. Perhaps Dan was a little kedgier than that what we originally thought. How is it that they see us as their king and queen? Also, how is it that we understand them as they're speaking in English, for goodness sake? Dan, you're a very cheeky devil. I'll have to have words with him when I get back.
I'm in paradise. I am so happy.
Me too.
A dawn appears on a Sunday morning. Clouds are floating high up in the sky, watching birds fly high. Places the mind at ease.
That was episode 5 of Kingdom. Captain John Arrow was played by Bob Finch. Jason Burns by Christopher Sheldrick. Robert Pine by Michael Tanzer. And Kimberly Pine was Rebecca Barraclough. Dr. Daniel Scott was played by Thomas Horton. And Amy, the humanoid, was Emma Finch. Max Stone was played by Alistair Dunn. And Sarah Stone, his wife, was Hilary Horton. The Legionary Samson was played by Bob Finch, and other parts were taken by members of the cast. The narrator was Alec Newman. Studio production was by Phil McMurtry, and the programme was directed by Robert Finch. This has been a Kuiper Belt production.